Hello, and welcome to show number 5 of Global Perspectives, where we discuss with Dr. Michael Leitman, of course, where we discuss what's happening in the world today. First of all, hello, Dr. Leitman.
Shalom lekulam.
Hello, everyone.
Today's topic is the significance of the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and the disease that it's brought upon us. Dr. Leitman, I'd like to begin with this question. You say that the coronavirus is not just any virus. It's not an ordinary virus, but that it's the beginning of a new era. So, first of all, why do you say that it's not an ordinary virus? What's so special about it?
First of all, it's not an ordinary virus because this attack, the coronavirus, it's all around the world. It's worldwide. It took the entire world in a matter of a few days, and it affects everyone, including everyone, showing us what an integral society or humanity we are nowadays, both because of the technology and technical ties that we have between nations and continents and so on, but also because that this is how we have to be by nature. Only we didn't head there. We have developed egoistically, so we have divided ourselves into nations and countries, but actually, we're all a part of the human species, and therefore the coronavirus comes and makes no distinguish and doesn't distinguish between people.
You say that the coronavirus is the beginning of a new era in the history of humankind. How can a virus be the beginning of a new era, and why specifically this virus?
No. That the virus has to already do with a new era in human history, it's true, but not that it opens this new era. All in all, already 100 years ago, or maybe even more, we became as one humanity, as one human species all around the world. But we didn't want to accept this because it's not convenient for our ego to take others into consideration, to say that we're interconnected, interdependent. It's more convenient that I sit in my corner, you sit in your corner, and we don't touch each other, even though that here and there we have wars and tensions, but still it's convenient for us to talk this way. This is how our ego is advancing us, positioning us one against the other. Whereas the blows that we're going to get, and the coronavirus is the first of them, is first to feel how interdependent we are, and interdependent both in a good but also in a bad way.
But 100 years ago, you're saying that this era began 100 years ago. But since then, we've been developing in a certain way. We've become more and more globalized. Our economy grew and expanded and became more and more interconnected and interdependent. And we've learned to rely on production from overseas, from China and Asia, and so forth. And the thing is that the coronavirus, the pandemic, what it did is it shut everything down. It stopped everything. And
Ken,
I heard you say,
yeah,
that this shutting down of the economy all of a sudden marks the beginning of a new era, a new period in our development.
Because all in all, humanity started feeling that we're all in the same trouble. We all have the same problem all around the world, and that we need one remedy, that we have to behave the same, and so on and so forth. It's the first time in history that the entire aviation industry and everything around the planet just stopped. And everyone felt it. Even nature, the still vegetative and the animate, immediately felt it. This is why I'm saying that it is a sign that humanity has really reached a state where now it has developed to the level of an integral society.
Maybe it's like a child who doesn't know that he's growing, but he is growing, and he can only see that he grew up in hindsight. But what we're seeing now is that countries are eager to reopen the economy. People are eager to go back to shopping and to their past lives. My question is, what happens if we resist, if we don't want to go into the new era? We don't even know what it means. But if we don't want to get into it, if we insist on living the way we did before, what will happen?
It won't help us. Bigger viruses will come, bigger blows. Even before the coronavirus, we started seeing the kinds of blows that we can get from hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, fires, from everything, actually. And we are in a nature that became very hostile toward us, from California to Australia, Siberia, everywhere. And these blows that are going and growing, they're a true threat, and we have to understand that probably our attitude toward nature is incorrect. Nature is a whole general integral system, including the still vegetative animate and human beings, the speaking degree, and these levels have to be correctly interconnected with one another, and if the connection between them doesn't work properly, then really there's a problem. And as a result of the disorder between the different levels of nature, come out all the viruses, and this is what we see.
Share with us your insights. How do you tell one era from another? How can you tell that one era has ended and another has begun?
It's pretty hard to say in a very sharp and precise manner. I actually see the beginning of the new humanity from the 16th century.
That's a very long way back.
Yeah, it's really from a long time ago. But this is how it is. Since then and on, humanity started advancing toward becoming an integral humanity. Science started, industry, print, all these things, trade, they started developing this way until in the 18th, 19th century, we started discovering new things, that, and as we have reached the 20th century, then here everything became very clear, where we're living, the world became clear to everyone, only that still humanity hasn't felt that we're interdependent, whereas only lately, let's say in the past 50 or 60 years, did we start feeling that we're really in a small world. Aviation and our entire connection, interconnection, the different international ties and trade and banks, this entire system with the internet that developed 30 years ago, all in all, even less, where the entire matter of the connection began, that it's really the invention of the century. It was the invention of the century, and today it's developing onwards, meaning we're all interconnected. And this is a sign that we also have to change the relations between us to some extent. But versus that, the egoists that are in power in each and every country, they don't want it. Each of them wants to rule their people and to behave as this small ruler in their own country. And because of this, we're really suffering.
To give up the leadership, they're always egoistic. It's always been like that since the dawn of time. So why is now different? Why can't we just maybe move to another way of governance? But you're saying that this time is radically different. Why do you say that?
Because we ourselves, humanity as a whole, has reached a state where our development locked us all around the planet together, and now all the blows that will come, these won't be blows that will be against a certain nation or that will take place in some continent, but it will be worldwide as a result of the interconnection that we came to.
If we look back to the 16th century and examine human history since then you can tell, in hindsight, several stages. For example, the Industrial Revolution, the discovery of new continents, of course, the 20th century with all its wars, the French Revolution, you can tell, or the Spring of Nations in the 19th century, you can tell that there are points in the history that humanity changed during those points.
Again.
Now,
yeah.
But people know that these points were shifting points only when they look back. You are saying that this is happening now. You're not looking back. You're looking at the present and going forward. That's very different from everyone else. So that's my question. How can you tell that what's happening now is a revolution?
The revolution is in that we have to do it now, not that nature is doing it to us without asking us. Yes. What happened up until now was that we changed because nature changed us. And now we have to start changing ourselves by ourselves. To understand, acknowledge that we are one system, that we're as one humanity that is integral, and in relation to this, we have to change the relationships between us. From being egoistic, that this is how we were since thousands and thousands of years ago, and until this day, it's the same egoistic relations, only we've developed accordingly. We could have limited them somehow by laws, by this, by that, but still, these are egoistic relationships or relations. Whereas, what we have to do now is that we have to change the relations between us from egoistic to altruistic, from mutual hate and rejection and alienation to coming closer up to the point of love. And this is something that all of us have to do, and this concerns everyone. No one can be missing. This is the problem that's up ahead. No one can escape this, and we have to gradually acknowledge and understand this and look for ways of how to do it. In nature, there are such forces that can help us come closer together in a good way.
In what you're saying, first of all, it is that now it's kind of we are taking the helm. We are taking responsibility. We are becoming active instead of being led by evolution, call it this way, right? That we have to make a conscious choice to change our nature.
Ken,
yes, Exactly. We have to understand what is the change that nature made in us, and what is the change that we have to make on ourselves.
Revolution that I'm detecting is that it's not happening in France or in Europe or in America or Russia. It's happening everywhere, all over the world, on all of humanity, simultaneously.
Can. Can.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Of course. It's a bit in different times, the intensity is a bit different. When the body gets better, first of all, the more important parts get better, the lungs, heart, liver, and so on. And then more external parts. The same with us. That, of course, as human society will get better, there will be more inner parts and more external parts. But everyone will have to participate.
Some parts are more internal and some are more
external.
Well, this is according to the measure of the development of a nation or a certain part in humanity.
For a specific nation, that it's more internal or external, how should it adapt to the new era if it's more external or internal? What's the difference in their behavior, in their relationships, in the governance, that they, in the regimes that they should put on themselves?
Can.
Yeah. We will probably have to determine for countries and for nations different new forms of behavior, how to learn these things, what for, why, for them to learn all these things, for them to really disseminate these things through their mass media, in order for us not to come to greater blows from nature than now.
And nations know what kind of governance they should put on themselves, let's put it this way, according to the new era, according to their place in the new era. How will they know it?
This is something that we will know to the measure to which we will start wanting to come closer to each other and to cancel the different limitations, borders, distances from one another. Then we will start feeling in response from nature what we're doing and what else should we do.
If I understand correctly, basically, when you start changing according to the new era, you still don't know exactly what it will mean for you in the end. But as you change, you realize what it is you need to do next. Correct?
Again.
Yeah.
Okay.
More or less, yeah.
You can't plan anything. Basically, there's no 5-year plan. There's nothing. You just take a step and see what it brings you.
No.
Still, you learn from human nature, society, the connections that we have now, from sociology, from everything. And then gradually you'll see, how can you soften the relations between people, their relationships? What do you have to teach them? What should you explain? How to publicize these things? What is the integral life? How should we do it? Let's come closer together this way or that way. The main thing is that this will be the talk. This is what people will talk about all around the world. And then we'll see, what should we do? But we have to understand that unless we start doing this, the future blows will teach us that it is a shame for us to arm ourselves, because nature can simply shut us up and make us so miserable that it's a shame to think about wars and things like that. We have to think about how to fight ourselves.
Until recently, very recently, there was always this thought that you could plan ahead, that you could draw strategic plans. This is where we are now. This is where we want to be 5 years from now, 3 years from now, a year from now. It seems like now things are changing very quickly, and you only know your next step once you've taken the current step.
True. And it'll happen even faster. The pace will increase.
So we're going to be living only in the present.
Yeah. What's so bad about that?
It's a new perspective.
Yeah. It'll really be a good life where we will live for a good, for a better future every time, that from one day to the next, everything will change for the better. And that altogether, we don't feel what is a life where up ahead there is only good things. It's something that we have no idea what that is, because we're always closed inside ourselves, always in struggles, collisions, always in preparing ourselves for the next blow, for something. And here, the complete opposite. We're living in an increasing good. What's bad about that?
It's great. My only question is how to learn from the present state what the next step should be.
There should only be a good, a nice attitude between people for us to convince each other, to show each other that it's not just some kind of socialistic or communistic ideology, but that we have no choice. It's the law of nature. Nature's ordering us to reach a connection between us and with the force of nature.
But my question is more on a practical level. For example, a government has to build institutions, an education system, some kind of a job market. It has to decide which jobs are necessary, which jobs are not necessary, and what to do with the people, how to educate them, what courses and trainings they should take. And it seems like now they can't really plan ahead. So how does a government know how to plan its next step?
Probably the government will have to change, and it has to consist of people that are very drawn to this new integral education, that really want to build the integral social system, and that so all the time have to discuss about this in a good and nice way, have the social kind of discussion, not like today you see in governments that they fight endlessly all the time. And this is how we will reach a state where we will discover these laws that exist in nature. If we're talking about our ego, then from one day to the next, we can determine different laws, whatever we want, everyone according to their own forces, power, to the measure to which they want to push, pressure everyone. And whereas if we want to set new relations between us, then they already exist in nature. We can learn about it from nature, and there's no problem. I don't think that we can be wrong.
I just want to understand your terminology. When you speak of nature, you mean reality as a whole?
By nature, I mean that it is the entire general system that controls all of reality, what we see, feel, sense, and beyond that, things that we don't sense yet with our senses, including people that we're all a part of nature.
Okay. You seem to relate, I've been hearing your lectures for a long time, and you seem to relate to natural events, mainly disasters and catastrophes, bad events, as omens, as signs, as if they are some kind of a sign language that nature is telling you something or reality is telling you something. How do you decipher those signs? How do you decipher the signs that nature sends? For example, what is the difference? Well, first of all, maybe we'll start with the first question. How do you decipher the signs that nature sends you? Sends all of us, maybe, but you understand them.
I see these signs. What are they inviting us to? Whatever nature does with us, to us, all in all shows our weakness, where are we erring, and what do we have to do so that in the future we won't make the same mistakes.
How can you tell which kind of correction it's trying to tell you to do?
The correction is the same always, to be as one man and one heart. The correction is always in order to reach only in order to become one humanity.
There have been all kinds of disasters. For example, is there a difference between a hurricane and the coronavirus? What does a hurricane tell you, and what does the coronavirus pandemic tell you?
A hurricane works in a certain direction sharply, whereas the coronavirus affects the whole of humanity and brings the whole of humanity to a state where we have to yield, and this is something completely different. I hope that in the future, may it not come, but if it does come, we'll see that there will be such blows that really they affect all of mankind, because in relation to nature, nature sees us as one integral system, as one body, and therefore it doesn't matter where a person lives. One way or another, he will suffer from each and every blow, like with the coronavirus. Oh, we saw that. Probably it's from China. And suddenly it started spreading all around the world. There are even such islands in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, and it gets there too. How's that possible?
I still have one more question, one last question. The coronavirus locked us down. It told us to stay home and keep to ourselves. So it prevented us.
No, it's showing us that we can't come closer to each other. We can't come close to each other. Let's change our attitude toward each other and see how will the coronavirus pass.
Is it the coronavirus that will teach us how to get closer to each other, or is this something that we have to teach ourselves?
Hello.
No, we have to teach ourselves, because we have to come to the conclusion and to a new decision and teach ourselves. We have to or ask for the correction, but this is the work that we have to do. It's like a child that understands that he did something bad. After he saw this, he goes and corrects it. He goes and asks, and he's being helped and given some, and he changes.
Well, our time is up. I'd like to ask some more questions, but our time is up.
Let's be good kids.
We'll try. We'll get corrected anyway if we don't. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman, for a fascinating
look.
I really hope that it'll change and soon, and we'll become wiser and we'll want to change and are not to get blows, and in general, because it's good to be good.
Everyone heard you. Thank you very much, and thank you all for watching.
All in all, what we have to do is what we tell our children to do. Let's do it ourselves. That's it. Good luck.
Thank you all. Until the next time.